Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night we gathered for Maundy Thursday, and there we unpacked a little bit about how yesterday, today, tomorrow, Sunday is, it's God's work preparing for a wedding. Jesus, the bridegroom, we, his bride. That's what God is doing because he wants to be with you. Now, I don't say this, when I tell people this, it kind of surprises them, but I would much rather do a funeral than a wedding. And I mean that in all sincerity. Not because I'm against partying or having fun, but it's purely as a pastor, it's the role I play, right? If I'm doing a wedding, and not every wedding, but if I'm doing a wedding, like most of the people see me there as the barrier between the boring part and the party, right? But when someone passes away and I'm there to share some words at a funeral, well, what I have to say really matters at a funeral. People care what I have to say at a funeral. People don't care what I say at weddings. I don't even care. No, that's just kidding. It's fitting, I think, that Jesus prepares us for a wedding by his funeral. He dies to make you fit, to make you ready for this celestial wedding. I also don't love weddings because some brides, not none of you all, are a lot. It's okay, we can laugh. I once did a wedding, and actually the bride is a dear friend of mine still, godmother to one of my children, and she forgot her veil at the hotel, and the whole thing was put on pause for 45 minutes so she could run back and get it. The veil, the bride and her veil. That's an important part of tonight. It's an important part of our story with Jesus. Jesus prepares us for his wedding by inviting us to his funeral. That's what we celebrate tonight. And it all started way back, right? Way back in Genesis again, at the first wedding between Adam and Eve, where they were bound together. An image, not just for how we live in this life, but an image of the hope that we have with Jesus, who's coming to be with us and create us as his people, his chosen people, his cherished people. God wants to be with you. But we messed it all up, didn't we? Eve took a bite of that fruit. Been downhill ever since. Sin, brokenness entered the world. And you experience this, right? I mean, we all know what sin is. Maybe our own guilt, our own shame, our own brokenness. But we know sin, this barrier, this burden, this shroud of darkness that covers us when we encounter things that aren't right. When we encounter evil, when we come across things that aren't as they should be, when we're living a less than life, when circumstances around us are hard and miserable and uphill at every turn, where every turn we take steps backwards before falling forward. Sin, brokenness, darkness. It covers all of us. It encases all of us. And it's a barrier. It's a block that prevents us from being with God and prevents him from being with us, right? And the best visual understanding of that in the Old Testament times was in the temple. The temple was the place where everything happened in the Hebrew life. It was the center of all of it. And in the center of that center is the Holy of Holies. It was the place that was set apart. It was different than everywhere else in this world. That was the place where God, who sits on his throne in heaven, but his feet come down and touch earth, in this place, the Holy of Holies. The presence of God is here in this place. But it wasn't, well, it wasn't accessible to us, right? In fact, there was a huge curtain that blocked it off, a huge curtain that separated God's domain from the rest of us. It was a huge curtain, 60 feet wide, 60 feet tall. Horses, they're told, couldn't pull it tight, pulling on each end. It was massive. And it was a barrier, a protective barrier that we couldn't access God. We couldn't draw near to him. It was a shroud. We know it mostly as a curtain, but you know the Hebrew word and the Greek word that is translated there is, it's a veil. A bridal veil. Isn't that fascinating? A covering that protects and encases. And here in a few minutes, towards the end of our service, we'll read and we'll hear that as Jesus dies, as his arms are spread out, as he bows his head, as he dies, this curtain is torn in two. Torn in two, from top to bottom. In the midst of earthquakes, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of all of it, when our Savior dies, perhaps the most telling component of the whole death, the whole story, is that this curtain tore in two. This veil was torn to reveal the bride to our Lord. That we now have access. We, you, can draw near to the one who wants to be with you. That's why he died, to be with you, to draw near, and that you might draw near to him. A wedding. Portrayed for us in the tearing of a curtain, a veil. And it really takes us back, right? Because it takes us again back to Genesis, right? Where God formed Adam out of the dirt and breathed life into him and put him in the garden and said, "This is yours. Tend and keep it, care for it." And then in that moment, God looked and God, perfect community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together perfectly. He said, "It's not good you're alone. You need somebody with you, Adam." Ain't that the truth? And so every animal was brought before Adam, and Adam looked at it and named it, right? Wouldn't that have been an amazing scene to be there? As Adam's naming all the things that were formed. Oh, that's a duck-billed platypus, obviously. Right? Naming these animals and all of them and in the midst of it. And at the end, the Lord looked upon Adam and looked upon all that he had created and said, "You know what? There's not one that's suitable for you here. There's not one that's made for you here. Your bride isn't here." So the Lord put Adam to sleep. He took out a rib and he fashioned his bride. Made for each other, right? That's not just a romantic expression. That's biblical truth. Adam and Eve were made for each other. Because all along, the image has been God wants to be in a relationship with you. You're not meant to go through this world alone. You are meant to go through it with the Lord and with each other. We messed that up when we sinned, when we ate the fruit. Right? It was on a tree when everything went bad. When Eve took that fruit. And tonight, it's on a tree when God puts it all back together, isn't it? It was on a tree when Eve took the bite of that fruit that death entered, and tonight, at the tree of death, life is restored. For you, because he wants to be with you. But there's more. There's more. Jesus stretches his arms and he dies. He bows his head, he gives up his spirit. The temple curtain is torn, the temple veil torn in two. Darkness everywhere, earthquakes. It says that the dead rose from the dead that night. And the Roman soldiers were there. And Roman soldiers were excellent at putting people to death. And they came and they inspected Jesus. They didn't have to break his leg because he was already gone. And to prove it, they took a spear and they pierced his side right where Adam was pierced all those years ago. And out of his side, you are born. Out of his side, you have life. Out of his side, the church comes into being. Out of his side, we live with him. Because he loves you. He loves you. And he wants to be with you. And the veil is torn. So our Lord can look upon his bride. You. Because he loves you. He loves you. How much does he love you? About this much. About this much. So you can be with him. In the name of Jesus. Amen.